This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout.
What the Tech?
Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Paul Thurrott, a very fancy Paul Thurrott today.
I'm mixing it up.
You are. I don't think I've ever seen you in a button-down shirt on the air.
Well.
Is that possible?
Sure, I have one point or the other, but.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a button-down. But you're very fancy, still in blue.
Yep, still technically blue.
You have the chest hair going.
Okay. There's nothing I can do about that.
Oh, man. How you doing, Paul?
Nothing masculine I could do about it.
No, nothing masculine. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not bad. Hanging in there. I just set myself a reminder. I just realized that I could talk to my phone and do reminders. I just remember this. So
did you say, okay, Google?
No, I don't do the okay, Google stuff. I hate
doing... How do you talk to your phone?
Yeah, I just press, like, the button.
Oh, I see.
And then I just like set the reminder that way. But
yeah, that's fine.
Do you talk to Cortana?
No,
you don't. No. Does anybody talk to Cortana? I'm curious who actually talks to Cortana.
I think people do. Cortana's good. It's not an issue with it. I mean, I just don't like to talk to the phone.
No, I'm just curious if that's. I mean, even on the Apple side, do people actually talk to Siri? Like, what percentage of users talk to Siri and set reminders and set, you know, notes?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I would love to know that.
That's the type of thing that, well, I could see Apple talking about it, but that's the type of data that Microsoft comes clean on. You know, they'll talk about their telemetry and what happens, and that's the type of stuff Apple is often very circumspect about, you know, especially if it's bad news.
I'm curious on how many people do this. Like, I just started talking to my phone, and I realize how useful it is because it's so much quicker.
And you have a flip phone.
I have a flip phone, too, yeah. I just started talking to my flip phone. No, I just realized that it's a lot quicker to set reminders. Like, I have a big problem with adding stuff to my calendar. I'll constantly, like, I really rely on my memory. Yep. And over the last year, I've gotten really busy, so I've totally forgotten that I have events. Which I know that you've experienced that personally.
Oh yeah.
I've gotten really bad at remembering events, and I'm remembering, you know, stuff like that, or even things I need to do around, you know, the house or work. So I just, like, about a month ago, I was like, you know what, let me just really dedicate myself to putting stuff in my calendar, and I just started talking to my phone, and it makes it so much easier to set dates, set everything.
I can't speak intelligently to this because I just don't do this. I mean, I know that with Google and with Cortana, possibly with Siri, you can even get into kind of conversations. You can say things like, you know, set an appointment, like you said, or whatever, and it will actually come back and ask you questions. You know, is this right? Do you want to, you know, that kind of thing. And I just don't care to interact that way. You know, it reminds me a little, obviously, if you're sitting there home alone in your own office, it's fine. But, you know, like, the last thing you want to do is be on public transportation. Some goon is talking to their phone right next to you or whatever. Like, it's like when people had the cell phones that worked in that kind of walkie-talkie mode. And it was like beep, beep. And they would talk to each other, like, without, you know, holding the phone to their ear. You could hear both sides of the conversation. I just think there's a certain cluelessness to that, you know?
Yeah. You hated the Nextels, huh? Not a fan.
I just don't understand why anyone would want to go back to a conversation type that looked like a World War II field.
I'll tell you why I had it. All my Greek friends had it. And it looked like the coolest thing in the world.
All right. But I just don't think being, you know, if you're on a train or, you know, a bus or whatever, and people are watching videos on their phones without headphones on or talking like that.
It was obnoxious. Yeah. I mean, it's really obnoxious.
We really got to figure this out.
I'm not a fan of people talking on their phones on the train. I hate it, actually.
I think there are ways to do it.
Nobody's discreet. Everybody's just shouting.
Actually, you know, the last time I came home on the train from New York, whichever trip it was, I was with my, I was by myself. My wife.
Yeah,
the
last
there.
Last time.
Whichever time that was. I called Stephanie from the train, and the woman who was sitting across me at the table, we were the only two people there, kind of looked at me and kind of smiled a little bit. And I was being quiet. I mean, I wasn't being obnoxious. And, you know, I spoke quietly very briefly, and then that was the end of it. And then a few minutes later, the guy behind me started a very animated and loud conversation with whoever. And it was clearly like one of those things like, hey, I'm on the train. I got some time to kill. What's up? It was just like this baloney conversation about nothing, lots of laughing and everything. And she just looked at me and kind of shook her head. And it was like very clear to me that what I had done was acceptable and what this jerk behind me was doing was just, you know, just total, just sad.
Well, with technology comes a lot of responsibility. How about the jerks that are playing, you know, like Candy Crush on the train with the volume at 100% or on the plane?
Like a sports event with the volume cranked on that little distorted speaker in the back of their phone, you know? Or listening to terrible music.
Whatever
music. It doesn't matter what kind of music it is. No one wants to listen to your music.
Why would you
put that out for everyone to hear?
I'm astonished, like on planes, people actually take out their iPads and to just start playing a movie.
Yep.
And they think it's totally acceptable that now I have to listen to your stupid, stupid film.
Sure.
I don't care about Jennifer Lopez being a wedding planner.
No.
I don't care for that.
If you did care about it, you don't want to hear it. It's someone else's thing. That's not. You're invading other people's space. It's not okay.
I want to talk about this. I actually want to talk about technology and our reliance on a lot of things. And yesterday was a devastating day for me because I had to rethink how I work. And it was fascinating.
Because
of Skype. And a lot of people, this happened to a lot of people. And they had to like come up with ways to collaborate with people and to work and to communicate. It was actually a little alarming on how we're so reliant on certain pieces of software and hardware where if it were to go away, what do we do? I want to talk about that. But before I do that, I want to pause for a minute and I want to talk about our sponsor. And that's Casper. What is Casper? Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses. And they're premium without the premium cost for a fraction of the price of other mattresses on the market. They have a great deal for our listeners, our viewers of the GFK Network, and of course of this show. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew. That's casper.com/Andrew. And you could enter the promo code Andrew at checkout and you get $50 off. I'd like to normally not talk about companies via the copy. Because I actually sleep on a mattress that's a Casper, and I have four herniated discs in my back. And for the longest time, I told the story the last time we spoke about this. For the longest time, I slept on a very expensive mattress. It ends with the second half of the word is down, and the first half of the word it rhymes with Ming. I'm not going to name names here on the show. I bought this mattress like $2,000 because I went to like one of those retailers and I slept on this thing. They're like, oh wow, they did the whole body analysis thing. They're like, this is where it is, this is where it hurts. This is the mattress you need. So I paid $2,000 for this thing and I hated every single day of this mattress. I would curse myself every night for purchasing this stupid expensive mattress about 7 years ago. And then I got the Casper mattress. They go, listen, let us send you one. You know, you're going to be talking about it. You should at least use it. And I go, yeah, send it over. I threw this mattress out. I put this one in, and it has been nothing but a pleasant night's sleep for me every single night. The reason why, it uses two pieces of technology. It uses latex and memory foam. They come together for a great night's sleep. The mattresses are very high quality. You could buy them online. It is completely risk-free. And if you purchase one, and let's say you don't like it for whatever reason. Guess what? You have 100 days to try it on. Not a week, not a month, not 2 months. 100 days to try this mattress out. And if you don't like it, you could send it right back. And by the way, they're all made in the USA, all the Casper mattresses. Casper.com/Andrew. You get 50% off. $50 off. I apologize for that. $50 off If you use our offer code Andrew at checkout, our promo code Andrew at checkout. I want to thank Casper for supporting the show and, of course, for supporting the GFQ network. Paul.
Yes.
I want to talk about the Skype debacle yesterday.
Okay.
Almost everybody that I communicate within my company is on Skype. We have a Skype group.
Yep.
John is in that Skype group. It's just like the people that do the day-to-day stuff where I try to, you know, talk to them about what's happening and what we're planning on doing, what I'm doing. We had no communication yesterday at all. We resorted to an IRC server.
I'm sorry, to a what?
IRC.
Oh, jeez.
Because, okay. Nope, we couldn't get everybody to kind of like, we're like, oh, let's do Google. Let's do Google. Well, people couldn't do Google. It didn't work for them. Let's do SMS. Didn't work for them. Some people weren't getting the messages, and it wasn't sending, depending on where they were. So we made an IRC server. We have a server. So we made an IRC channel, and we were communicating on that IRC channel. Luckily for us, about 15 minutes after we set it up, Skype came back. But it was actually alarming on how reliant we are on certain piece of technology. And when they go away,
yep.
Things happen. I mean, I know you talked to everybody on Skype. So what was your experience like? What did you do?
Well, I emailed the couple of people that I communicate with every single day and said, hey, by the way, Skype's down. So see you on email. And in my case, I don't remember what time it was, but somewhere right in the middle of the day, you know, you get these little notifications on your computer and you kind of don't even really pay attention to them, you know. But what I had gotten was a little Skype notification. Someone was online, it said. The little Skype thing was circling like it wasn't working. And I thought, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And just at that moment, Mary Jo pinged me. And I think she probably saw something similar where she said, hey, can you see this? And I was like, yep. And even though it looked like Skype wasn't signed in, we could communicate. And so I sent Brad a message as well. I think Raphael, just to be like, hey, you know, this appears to be working. And it was. So it wasn't a major deal. I mean, obviously for stuff like what you're doing with the shows and everything, especially, that kind of puts, you know, that's the end of that. I mean, so there's not much you can do there. That's kind of catastrophic. But as far as like day-to-day stuff, I mean, it's handy. I use Skype mostly because we'll use it for the podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'd want to use Skype all that much otherwise, but I guess it's fair to say most of the people I talk to
are on Skype. Yeah. So we've been talking about this for a while, like why, you know, iMessage is great, but you can't iMessage on a Windows machine, obviously.
Yeah. So iMessage may be great. It doesn't matter.
Google Hangouts are great because it's cross-platform across everything. And
yeah, but there's no client, you know, on
that's the
a
problem,
computer.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean,
obviously, you can use Hangouts through a web browser, but that's not a very good, you know, you need an app for communications. I'm not going to open, like, a web browser tab, you know?
Yeah, you could get, like, an extension where, like, pops it up on the bottom. But, I mean, it's still a little, you know,
hokey.
Yeah, it's not great at all. I don't know what's happening here. I gotta, as I'm saying that, my phone is screaming at me. So yesterday was interesting because we were trying to like figure out like, okay, well, if this happens again, what are we gonna use? You know, and Google Hangouts seemed like it would have been the best option because you could do like a group thing there. But you're absolutely right; it didn't really work well. But this got me thinking.
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. Right. Yeah. But think of all the pieces of technology that we rely on every single day. And we were talking on Skype earlier, and you brought up something great, navigation systems. If something catastrophic happened and yours broke in the middle of, you know, traveling, how would you know where you're going?
Right.
It's very difficult. I mean, we've really turned into a society that relies on these things.
Overly so, yeah.
Overly so.
In the sense that advice is easier to give than it is to take, I have often cautioned people to get up and walk away, you know. And, of course, I'm someone who sits in front of a computer for 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. But, you know, how healthy it is, not just physically but mentally, to just kind of, you know, walk away. I don't commute like most people do, right? I work at home. So I don't have some regular technology usage that other people do, you know, whether they might, you know, have their car with them in a car, on a train, a bus, whatever it is, that they might be interacting with it in some way constantly or sometimes. They might use it for music. They might use it to, you know, catch up with what's going on in the world, read a book, whatever it might be. I have to kind of go, you know, I go for a walk and I'll listen to a podcast or a, actually more typically an audiobook or something. But I think maybe because of that, I'm less, you know, like the person is like sitting there with the, like the phone like this, you know, you see these people all the time. They can't get away from their phones. And like, to me, it's like, eh, like, yeah, whatever. I don't really, it's not as big of a deal for me. But I do think there's like a technology maturity thing that has to occur. You know, we right up front, we were talking about people listening to music without headphones on or whatever. It's the same thing. It's this is, we have these wonderful new things. We're really excited about them. We have no idea how annoying that is for other people that are, you know, we have no understanding or concept or caring about the other people around us. And I think that hopefully, and I hope that that changes over time.
So do you know what caused, like, have they said what was the major reason for the Skype outage? Nothing.
No, I'm not sure.
That's bizarre, right?
It's fairly, actually, did I see, I don't remember. I don't, it's unusual, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's,
and, I mean,
it doesn't happen
and,
a lot.
And it was a long, I mean, it took them hours to fix this.
Yeah. Microsoft says it was a network issue.
Yeah. But what does that mean?
Prevented users from logging in and using Skype.
Yeah. So I was logged in. I just couldn't, nobody was on.
See, if you use Skype for business, this wouldn't have been a problem.
Oh, Skype. So it's on a different server.
Yeah, well, yeah, temporarily.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's yeah, interesting. I don't know. There was no, I don't think there's ever, I'm not sure that it helps for them to ever explain what it was per se, especially if a consumer service like Skype, you know, you could make the argument that, you know, this thing is, doesn't have any sort of SLA for business users or whatever, you know.
I mean, it was an interesting day. Overall, you know, it was a little bit.
You seem
of
to
a,
be really upset about this.
I am. No, it was actually like a little awakening. We're like, holy crap, we rely on this one. Like, think of how stupid this is. It's Skype.
Well, but, no, this is for you. Like I said, for you, this
for
is
me. Yeah, no, I mean, but for other people, yeah, for other people, they have other pieces of software that, you know, I may think it's stupid and I find unnecessary.
For normal consumers or whatever, I mean, like a half of a day away from constantly interacting with some loved one.
Yeah, it's a great day for them.
May not be so terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It may be.
But I mean, that comes into play, like all of that, right? Like if you know, Verizon's network went down,
mm-hmm.
how devastating that would
right.
be.
Of course. Of course.
You know, just like things like that.
I think that's unusual. I don't think that Skype and Verizon have the same kind of networks, right? So there's something that could cause Skype to go down, whereas I don't think that's possible.
No, I'm drawing the comparison because I want to kind of explain how you're right. What happened? What happened?
It amazes me that I just switched back to the Skype window and it's still asking me if I, you know, by the way, you could invite other people to this call and have a group call. Yeah, no kidding. And thank you for constantly prompting me to do that. Why do you prompt me for this?
I know someone that got a voice ad in the middle of their conversation with somebody. They just had a video start playing.
On Skype?
Yeah. The Skype ads, they had a video start playing in the middle of their Skype call.
I have never heard of such a
thing. Yeah. I was on with him.
No, I'm not saying you're lying.
No, it was the most insane thing. I've never had it happen with anybody else. No. And he goes, what? Look at that. There's a video playing in the Skype ad. And I could hear it. It was like the little box. Maybe he clicked on it, but still annoying.
It's funny.
Verizon's voice network did go down yesterday in Raleigh, in the Raleigh-Durham area yesterday. So just imagine a major city, you know, imagine New York City and what a chaos it would cause. I mean, but think about that, right? Like we become so reliant on everything.
Yeah.
Where
I think a bigger issue would be taking down the electrical grid.
I mean, again.
Obviously, humongous. And then, you know, like EMP-type disasters, I guess. I mean, I'm surprised.
Where do you stand on that? Do you think that's a possibility?
EMP?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Like, do you think it's a possibility in our, you know,
when else would it happen? I mean, yeah. we live in this highly connected society. I mean, if you want to take down the United States, you know, go after the basics. We'll devolve into the Walking Dead within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, this, you know, we'll be eating our children soon. It's just, yeah, of course.
I was reading about that yesterday and how, like, cars wouldn't function, obviously. And they're trying to come up with, like, EMP preventative measures for vehicles where it wouldn't
be. You should talk to Volkswagen. They probably have something that will work fine.
Yeah. And, then, well, I mean, they'll recall it after the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When it actually happens.
The emissions are horrible, but it will sustain anything.
Yeah. It's just fascinating. I was thinking about this. You know, this whole thing with yesterday and how we need these things to work for us.
I think I mentioned this to you earlier. I this has been something that's come up a bunch recently. The reason I'm wearing the shirt, my wife and I went out and had a meeting today with a lawyer, essentially. But we're driving. It's the next town over. Before we left, she said it's on this street in the next town over, which I know very well. And we're, I mean, seriously, like 15 feet from the house. And I hear Google Maps voice in her lap at the end of Cranberry Lane. Take up, you know, and I'm like, turn that off. Why is that on? And she says, well, I was just looking at the whatever. I'm like, looking at the what you, it's talking because it's giving us directions to a place that I know how to get to.
I do that when I'm walking.
This over reliance, it's all, you know, it's like we can't leave the house without having an exact route. You know, what if, even though there's literally only one way to get to this place, by the way, there's a single road, what if Google alerts us to something that might tell us something that will shave 1 minute off of our trip? You know, and it's like, I'm sorry, but we need to give this up. You know, when we were in France, you know, of course, when you're in a new place, it's really nice to have Google Maps or whatever to get around.
Oh, and so you guys got hooked on that.
Well, no. I mean, well, we did. She's, I think my wife is just very. She's used to when you're going someplace you've not been. You got to do the map thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so my whole thing is, you know, we're there for 3 weeks. We're driving to the same couple of places, and I find it actually vaguely insulting that she feels the need to break out a map, even though I've driven every single day, have never gotten lost. And now, a couple of days into the trip, know exactly where I'm going.
Yeah.
Like, just put it away and let me go. Yeah. By the way, what happens if I get lost? I guess we'll figure it out. Like, don't – just let it happen, you know? And by the way, I didn't get lost, you know, because I did know where I was going. That was the point. That's the point of going to a place like this. You live there. You figure it out. And then you're there. You know, it's just like, I don't need a map to get to the restaurant I go to every Sunday.
I mean, see, I do it for places that I think I know where it is. So let's say it's in the vicinity of something else that I know.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the navigation regardless. I know exactly how I go, like what the path is. I just want to find it exactly. And it you're right. It kind of takes something away and it kind of dumbs us down a little bit where we're relying on this piece of technology instead of doing the brain power ourselves. On exactly where we're supposed to be.
And actually, I think that's the bigger fear. It's we are becoming dumber, you know? There's a wonderful gift when you can, from a web browser on a laptop or from your phone and with your voice, find out the answer to any question on Earth. It's so wonderful. On the other hand, when you no longer have to think for yourself, you stop thinking
for yourself. Well, that's exactly what's happened, right?
It is. It's exactly what's happened. And I think this is very dangerous.
I'm going to give you a great example. I saw someone. I went to the bar. No surprise there. And we were talking
Speaking
about
– Speaking of making yourself stupider. Yeah, yes.
We were talking about something and there was a girl next to me. Mm-hmm. And then somebody goes, what's 9 times 6? Like they were adding something. 9 times 6. She put it in the calculator, 9 times 6.
Sure.
How do you –
I know.
Like, you know what the answer is. Like, think for about a half a second.
Oh, by the way, you don't know what the answer is. Figure it out, you know? It's like figuring out a tip, you know? Like, things like 15 or 20% of any number should be really easy. Because it's really easy to know that 10% of anything, and then you can double that or add half to it, and you can get to the number really quick.
I mean, listen, I guarantee she's a smart girl. She would have known. I know her. I've known her for years. If you don't know 9 times 6, I'm sure you know 9 times 5. You know what that is? So add another, you know, add 9 again. There you go. You just figured it out. it just things like that. We become.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I'm not saying go outside with a hand axe and build a boat out of a tree. I'm sort of talking about just the basics here, you know? Like, I just think people don't apply. The less you apply your mind, the less you're able to apply your mind. I mean, I feel like we're going a little overboard here with this stuff. And so, obviously, I mean, I'm sitting in a room that is surrounded by gadgets and, you know, whatever. And so I'm a hypocrite or whatever you want to say. But when I go out into the world, I try not to be overly reliant on this stuff, because it's not like I'm, you know, smart or anything. I can tell that this is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's obvious that this is a problem.
Yeah. It's a bizarre little issue. I think there's going to be a rebellion against technology for some people. I think we're going to approach that eventually, where we're going to start turning everything off eventually.
Yeah, there already are people doing that, right? I mean, I'm not going to become Amish or anything like that. I mean, but I, you know, do I foresee a future where there's a lot less technology going on, you know, minute to minute in my life? I mean, yeah, absolutely. As much as I am into this stuff, I mean, I'm also a little bit just nervous about the, you know, the constantness of it. I don't bring, like, for example, actually, here's a really good example. I will, depending on the night, will bring a Kindle or sometimes a, like an iPad mini or something, and read in bed before I go to sleep. Like, I'll do that. I never sleep with a phone next to me, ever. And I am certainly never in the middle of the night getting up and looking at stuff on a screen of any kind. When I go on a trip, I do put a phone next to the bed.
Just in case,
Well, it's an alarm, you know. So, obviously in a hotel, I'll call down to the front desk and say I want a wake-up call for whatever time. But I'll do a backup on the phone because, you know, I'm anal retentive. But I don't want to be swimming in devices. Like, I don't need them, you know. We don't even have a TV in our bedroom. Like,
I need the TV.
Yeah, a lot of people do. But yeah. I'm just trying to explain the depth to which I kind of take this thing. Like, I don't.
Oh, no. I know that about you. I know that I should never Skype you after 5:36.
No, you can. I'm just not there.
But you're just not there. Yeah. I just know that you're not going to be there.
I'm not ignoring you. I don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't have, I probably have Skype on my phones or whatever, but I don't see that stuff, and that's by design, you know. Obviously, if it's important for, you know, someone like you, you can call me if you have to.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to.
You can email me.
Well, you know what? I was telling Mary Jo that. You brought up something interesting. So I never call you, right? I probably called you in the 6 years we've known each other, that we've been friends. I've probably called you 3 times.
Yeah, and most of those times would have been while I was in New York City.
While you were in New York.
Because you know I'm walking around somewhere or something, and how am I going to reach this guy?
It's so awkward to talk to you on a phone.
Yeah.
It's like I'm fumbling around. I don't know what to say.
Just, sure.
It's just like really
this
uncomfortable.
Woman called me from Wagner Edstrom, the Microsoft PR company, yesterday, and I answered the phone. And we both sort of like, sort of fumble mouth the whatever. And, you know, she's like, I'm sorry. She goes, you know, I'm so used to your wife answering the call. I didn't know what to say when I heard your voice. It's like, I'm like, I also don't know how to respond to simple questions like, are you Paul?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just don't talk on the phone a lot. I'm
Paul who? That way. Yeah, it's interesting. I want to talk about the Amazon lineup, Paul.
Yeah.
I know you alerted me early in the morning when this happened.
Yep.
It was a very
exciting morning for
me. It was a very exciting morning. You know, I was thinking about this, and I didn't realize how important one of the key features for the new Amazon Fire is, and that's that it supports 4K.
The new Fire TV.
The new Fire TV. Yeah.
Right.
And Apple TV does not support 4K.
No.
And
interesting.
A lot of these set-top boxes and the Netflix, like for Netflix streaming, I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
A lot of these devices, a lot of these TVs, you know, none of them have the 4K ones. Some of the 4K ones don't even have 4K streaming.
Yeah, I mean, it's slow. You're starting to see a little bit of 4K on Netflix. I think you see some on Amazon, which is probably the point. And I, obviously, that will go up over time. And so, I don't know what to make of this. You know, to make of Apple not having it on Apple TV. Is this a problem? Is this something they could fix? Is this something they're actually planning? Is the chipset inside this device capable of doing it if they wanted to?
Well, I don't know if it is. Why would they?
I don't know either.
I mean, I guess that it would be a quick update for next year. You know, it's 4K support next year.
Well, the other thing they could do is if you think about the current, soon to be previous generation Apple TV, you know, that design has been around for a while. And the initial release of it, if you remember, was 720p.
Yeah.
Right. And then they released an update, you know, not a software update, but like a new version of it. Same box, but update that had 1080p. And they could do that, you know, maybe keep 1080p in the market for the next year or two, then put out a 4K version, which I'm sure they would give some terrible Retina type name to.
Retina edition.
No, but keep the 1080p one in the market as a lower end option. And then they could get rid of the existing one, which they're now keeping for some reason.
Does Roku do 4K?
No. Not that I know of. I don't think so. Like the new Roku 3.
This year, Roku is amongst the companies making 4K priorities. The company announced that it has plans for 4K Ultra model. So I don't know if they have a model that does it yet, but they're planning on it.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, they would be one of the only ones. Amazon Fire. I don't know if Google might do 4K, the Google Box.
Right.
But, I mean, this is a nice little advantage over the Apple TV, especially if you're in the market for 4K television. I just helped someone buy a 4K TV, 43-inch Vizio 4K TV for $500.
It's amazing,
isn't it? I mean, that is dirt cheap.
I know.
Considering how long it took for, you know, 1080 displays to drop in price like that. It's actually unbelievable. What do you think of the $50 tablets?
I mean, I'm not going to get one. It's a 6-inch device, right? This is a phone. You know, I mean, so it's a little weird. I think for a lot of people, $50, it's Amazon, it's a tablet, it's something you can give the kid if it doesn't, you know, they break it.
Seven inch,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I find their device strategy to be confusing and maybe even confused, if that makes sense. You know, they kind of evolved the line. Obviously, they have the various Kindles and everything. But then as far as the tablets go, it's like, you know, Kindle Fire, Kindle Fire HD, Kindle Fire HDX. And now we have new Kindle Fire HDs. And it's like, what are these things, you know? And they're actually really low-end devices. They're going kind of the Walmart route this time.
Yeah.
I think with the HDX devices last year, 2 years ago probably when they first debuted, they were really going after iPad Air or whatever the iPad was at the time. Super high-res screens. Kind of quirky covers that were like origami shaped and they could hold the thing up and all this different stuff. And now it's 2015, a couple of years later, and you got like new 7 and I guess 8-inch and I think 10 as well versions of these tablets. And they're like, well, I don't know the 10-inch, but the 7 and 8-inch
versions. They got a 6, a 7, an 8, and a 10.
Okay, but the new ones, the ones they just announced, are 1280 by 800.
Yeah, 1280 by 800. And yeah, I mean, they're both 1280 by 800.
This is a resolution out of the past.
Why is it so low res? I mean, is it for the price?
Because that's how you save money. I mean, in other words, the other thing they're doing is they're putting in, and this is actually new to Amazon, and I'll be interested to see how they handle this. They have micro SD expansion for the first time. They've never done that before. And so they can put a minimum amount of storage in these things. I think it's just really about saving money. And it's fair to say that there is a big market, especially in this country. You know, we tend to think of things as, you know, the kind of the liberal elite types who live on the coast. But, you know, for a lot of the country, they're not necessarily able to spend $400 to $600 every year on an iPad or whatever. But, you know, for the price of a single iPad mini, you could buy 6 of these Amazon tablets.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's amazing. Not that anyone maybe as an individual needs 6 of them, but that kind of shows you the difference. It's
well, you know when they're going to need six of them for Christmas.
Well, no, I mean, right, sure. But I mean, as far as like a family, I mean, maybe a family would need two or three of them or something, or whatever it might be. But
yeah,
can give all your kids tablets.
You're looking at the, so they have the new Fire, which is 7 inches. It's 1024 by 600.
Yeah.
It's a quad core 1.3 gigahertz processor, 8 gigs of storage. It's a mono speaker. It has a VGA front facing camera and a 720p.
It's a mono speaker. So is every Apple device ever made.
So is every Apple one, yeah.
You know. Mono speaker.
7 inches of... 7 inches. 7 hours of reading time. I mean, it's a low-end device. It's a very low-end device. You know, but it's $50, so...
Yeah, you get all the Amazon stuff on there. The other thing they've done this year that I do find slightly interesting, not enough to actually buy one, but... I've never liked the Amazon. They're calling it the Fire OS now. Past couple years,
the Bellini, right? The Bellini edition.
The Bellini.
That's what it's called. Yeah, Bellini.
The new version, right? So pre Bellini, the Fire OS has had a very Amazon content centric UI, which I really don't like. And they use this UI also in their Kindle app, like on iOS or whatever, where you know it's like you're flipping through stuff and it's got kind of a magazine kind of layout almost. And they have like top level menu items for all of the, you know, the Amazon content stuff. And I don't know. It seems like most people who run these, have these tablets can handle like your basic hunt and peck UI like you see on standard Android or iOS or whatever. And if you look at the shots of Bellini, the new version, it looks like regular Android finally. Like I think they're finally getting rid of the Amazon baloney that was on top of it. It's still Amazon Android, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it looks more like Android than it does Amazon.
And I think that's smart because I think people might have looked at it previously and been like, I don't understand what this is. Whereas they could look at these new ones and say, oh, yeah, I get that. You know, because I have I have some Android phone and it's got icons that I hit with my finger and it works. And like, you could look at the Amazon one and say, oh, yeah, okay.
I'm looking right now, I think when you search, it brings that like weird Amazon funky UI, but I think that was, you're right, I think that was the first big mistake that they had. That I mean, it was interesting, I like the fact that it was a unique UI, and I think that should still be the direction Amazon's, for a lot of Android companies.
They've really lost me on this stuff.
You were a fan for a while, but
and I've always liked the Kindles, you know, the e-readers. Until the most recent one. I didn't get a Voyager. I thought that one was too expensive, but then they came up with a 300, I don't know if it's 300 DPI or whatever, the 300 pixels per inch or whatever it is. In other words, they came up with a normal Kindle that has the same resolution as the Voyage, and I kind of pulled the trigger on that. It was less than $100, I think, when I got it. And honestly, I see no difference in text quality in this at all. In fact, I went and looked up to make sure that the thing I had was, in fact, the Paperwhite 300, whatever it is, 300 DPI, whatever they call it. Because it just did not seem any better to me than the normal one. It still has issues. You know, it's got like backlighting, but it's kind of splotchy, so it's brighter in some areas than others. I'm getting a little disenchanted with these things, you know. And then on the tablet side, I mean, last year I had at one point, you know, whatever their, I guess it was a 7-inch HDX, a 10 or whatever inch, whatever that was, HDX. Of course, I got the Fire Phone last year. And
it was disaster.
These are all pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm just, they're really going lowball in the new stuff. Not interested in this, by the way, the issue I have with the Fire TV, which I know you really like, but the thing I don't like about it is, it's Amazon stuff all front and center, and then you can run apps.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I have a very specific
reason why I like the Fire TV.
I know, the performance is great.
And the performance is great, and I can run my Plex server on there. I'm running Kodi. I'm running, you know, XBMC on there.
Right. But you still have to navigate through the Amazon.
You still have to navigate through the Amazon and stuff.
We all complain about Apple, but Apple doesn't do that on an iPhone. Like, there's not some Apple front end and, oh, by the way, here's some other apps down in the corner. Like, apps are apps. You can put apps you want to use in the front of that thing, and there they are.
You know, I thought that Amazon would address that app issue that they have right now, because there's no app store. There are apps that are accessible. There's no Amazon app store on the Fire TV.
Oh, and the fire.
Right? Yeah. But there is and there isn't. So yeah. They have like their featured apps, right? Or like you could search like, but it's like the top apps. It's not every app. So like we have an app, for example. GFQ has an app. Twit has an app on there. But it doesn't come up in the search for whatever you're searching, technology or whatever it is. You have to actually use the voice search and write, you know, say like Guys from Queens or GFQ Network, and it'll pull up the app and it'll tell you to download it. There's no like physical search. There's no ecosystem to search the apps. It's just whatever they're selecting for you. But if you search in the back end, you could find it that way. That's a major problem for me.
Well, that's another version of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's too much Amazon, Amazon. Oh, and there's other stuff, but you really had no idea how to find it. And I just find that to be – I didn't like it when they first started doing it on the HD/HDX tablets. Hated it on the phone. Hated it on Fire TV. And it kind of just – it takes it away from me. So, I mean, I'm really invested in the Amazon Kindle ecosystem in the sense that I've literally bought hundreds of books. It's not like I'm going to be switching ebook providers anytime soon. It doesn't make any sense.
But you could access the content on another device.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Amazon app, or the Kindle app, I should say, works great on Android and iOS.
That's my gripe with Amazon. You know, there's specific reasons why I like it, but to be honest, I'm going to be able to run Plex on the new Apple TV.
Yeah, crazy.
So all these apps are going to be readily available.
I still think Apple TV, the new one, could shape up to be the one box. And this is, you know, by the way, it ties in nicely to what we were talking about before, this kind of overabundance of technology. Obviously, I have slightly different, slightly different problems, for lack of a better term, than most people listening to this or whatever. But my living room, of course, I have various devices. We have Xboxes, a Blu-ray player, Roku, the Google thing, the Amazon thing.
Yeah.
Apple TV, and you know, a lot of this stuff is redundant, obviously. Some of it's there for kind of testing purposes, and it doesn't get used all that much. It's interesting to me to watch or to see which device or devices the other people in my family kind of gravitate towards. But you know, the Apple TV, if the Apple TV comes through in the way I think it might, you know, Groove app on there, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon video services on there.
Is there going to be search?
Done.
like a browser? Do we know that?
Like cross app search?
No. Like a browser.
What do you mean?
Like a Chrome like a or Safari? Browser. Yeah.
No, I don't see Apple doing that. I don't believe so.
Okay.
Why? like to what end?
No. I'm just curious if they were going to put in a web browser in it.
I don't recall hearing about that. I mean, obviously, it's possible.
But couldn't Google develop a Chrome? I mean, couldn't they develop Chrome for the Apple TV? They could,
but you know, Apple still holds the keys to the kingdom, right? So, Google might come up with a Chrome browser that runs on this thing, and Apple might say, "Yeah, we don't allow these kind of apps. This is for entertainment apps. It's for games." You know, they may just curate it more heavily, which they already do pretty heavily. I guess it's possible, but Google's browser, any browser on iOS is already fairly constrained because you have to use the Safari rendering engine, right? So they couldn't do add-ins and things like
that. So I've been experiencing some technical issues this week. I don't know what's going on. I think just the universe was shifted into a...
I think we're in the tail of a comet or something.
Yeah, I Paul and I were spent like 20 minutes on Skype last week just complaining about life. I was so miserable. Like, I was so miserable last week, and everything, like, just stopped working. And it was everybody. Everybody was experiencing some sort of problem, but...
I just have days where I enough things go wrong, and I'm like, and I'm done.
That's it. All done.
Nope, I'm done.
Done.
Don't care what happens after this.
I would love to know if this is a problem that some of our viewers have experienced.
Okay.
This is a question for you guys. As many of you know, I am an Android user.
Biggest technology fails.
Yeah. I'm an Android user. So, and this is going to be a little bit of a rant, so I know I'm going to get the, Andrew, why don't you go buy an iPhone? You look like an iPhone user. I know I'm going to get that, which I did get awesome. I did get that. That's the greatest message ever on YouTube. I have a Samsung S6,
mm-hmm.
and Over the last, I want to say, 2 months, this thing has slowed down to a grinding halt. To the point that I can no longer text because it is so slow. Like, wow. Texting was lagging, or I couldn't I couldn't open up, you know.
Do you have an octa-core processor?
Yeah. I couldn't open up anything. Like, it was, it's become unbearable. And it's not on every application, just on certain things. Like, answering a phone, there would be a delay with the phone. So I did, you know, the clearing of the cache and all this, you know, stuff. I finally wiped it out and restarted it, and now it's fine. But, but what does this?
So what? Yeah.
Why does this happen? This should not happen.
By the way, I could tell you that iOS will not solve this problem. Although it's possible that some of the newer, you know, the new phones have 3 gigs of RAM, you know, whatever, that might help. But I do.
And I don't watch porn on my phone either. Everybody's
no
saying
one is accusing
porn.
You
I don't
of
watch
anything
porn
specific. And you know, whatever, that's what you do in the privacy of your own phone is fine.
Yeah.
The one thing I do on iOS every day is Duolingo, like the language learning app.
Okay. Right?
But of course, I also, I mean, I read on it too. So, you know, I'll open Kindle and I have some stuff open in Kindle. And
what device are you using? You know, an iPhone or you're using the iPhone?
This is on an iPad mini.
Yeah.
iOS, though. The point is it's iOS. And you know, obviously, you know, Apple just came out with a new version of iOS. They have their own Apple News app, which is pretty good, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the one that Google has, the Google Play Newsstand app that probably nobody uses, but it's actually really good. And, you know, so I do a few little things in iOS, but I do Duolingo every day. And Duolingo normally works really fine. But there are some days where it will be speaking to me in a foreign language.
Sure.
And it doesn't say anything. And I'm tapping around trying to get it to say something. And slowly the words start coming out.
Yeah.
Or I will press a button to hear whatever the translation is. And it doesn't happen, and then I go to the next lesson, and all of a sudden it says the thing from the lesson before. So it's clearly some kind of a weird performance issue. And when that happens, you know, you double click, you bring up the list of apps,
and you close everything else.
I just close everything except for Duolingo because you close it, it literally kills it. When I do that, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
And I have to wonder, Android. This is to kind of complete the thought. I think is a much less tightly controlled system. And so like on Apple, it's very easy. Close apps, you're done. But I think of Android as being more like Windows. And I think that it's possible that there are rogue processes going on and things running in the background.
Yeah.
And it could even be malware related. And that those things are impacting the performance over time. And I think this is one reason to be a little more nervous about Android in general.
Like, I look at it, you're absolutely right. It is more like Windows to the point that I'm like, can I defrag this thing? Actually, you kind of do, right? You wipe the Delvik cache. That's like what everybody tells you to do. It's like go to the recovery mode and wipe the Delvik cache. I've done that. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
So my idea is that you're absolutely right. There's a rogue process out there somewhere within Android that over time it just starts using up more system memory and it starts slowing everything down and it just gets ridiculous. But it's gotten really bad, and I don't have too many applications on you. Like, I'm not an app guy. I have, I have the standards.
How much RAM does the S6 have? Is it 2 or 3?
I don't know. Four? I want to say 4.
Really?
I could be making that up. Someone tell me. Someone in chat says MS config to reduce the starting process.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I'm going to do on this. But I had that big problem, and now my contacts are all whacked out. My contact images are all over the place. So I'm getting there. Three gigs. Okay, I mean, that's good. That's enough.
No, that's crazy. That's great.
Yeah. So I should not be having, you know, these kind of issues on this phone. Or maybe there's a hardware malfunction on this. But I've experienced this throughout Android on multiple devices where over time, everything just goes to a grinding halt. And when you wipe everything out, you start over and you're perfectly fine. It's fine. No problems. iOS, on the other hand, I did have a bizarre issue on my wife's phone. She upgraded to iOS 9 last week, which millions of other people did also. And she lost all her contact images. All her contacts got whacked out. So we had to delete all our contacts, resync with iCloud to bring everything back.
Well, at least you could do that.
At least you could do that. Yeah, it's, yeah. It's an easy fix. But I just like I had all these issues. Windows 10, I can't install it on this Dell here. It goes through the process. It goes through the installer, and then you know that startup where it's like configuring everything, and you got that spinning thing, the dots. Paul,
I do know that. Okay, thing. I'm sorry. I was just,
it just stays there. Yeah. It just stays there. It does not leave. Yep. I mean, I could leave it for 10 hours. It just stays on that. And right. then I end up having to, I restart the computer. I just shut it down, start it up again. And I do control delete and it goes into, we're going to go back to the last version of Windows because there's something going on here.
Right.
And it kicks me back to Windows 7. So I have no idea what's going on. There's probably some sort of hardware conflict on this machine.
You, I don't want to, the forced makes it sound a little awful, but I assume you forced this upgrade like you didn't get the.
No, I got the upgrade.
You did?
Yeah, yeah.
And it still did that.
Still did that, yeah.
I don't, let me think about that. I don't have too many examples of Windows 10 failing on PCs like that. I have a lot of weird stuff on Windows 10 Mobile where, especially with that last build where you had to basically do three installs in a row. Where it would just kind of crap out on one of them and you'd be halfway to nowhere. And the only way to get it back is to restore it with special software that you have to get, you know, for your PC and connect it with a USB cable. Yeah. You have to detect the phone when it's at a certain part of rebooting because otherwise it doesn't see it as anything.
Wow.
It works. You can do it. But Windows 10 for PCs.
It should work. This is the first time that an upgrade has not gone seamlessly for me.
I have seen one roll back. You know, something went wrong, and we're returning.
I have seen that.
Yeah, but this was, I mean, not, I don't think this has been since RTM. I think
I was told by somebody that had the similar issue. They said, let me guess, you have an NVIDIA card. I go, yeah, I do. He goes, do you have a driver update? I go, I think so. Why? He goes, you should do that update because there may be a problem with the drivers for the NVIDIA card.
Right.
It's a display issue where it can't install, it can't do the configuration properly if you don't have the specific driver. It's a bizarre problem because there's no error. There's nothing. It just stays like that.
Right.
I'm going to try it again probably tomorrow to see if it works. All right, Paul, we are approaching the end of the show, but I do want to talk about one thing. You had a nice little post on your website on therot.com, little plug. I want to talk about that. Before we wrap it up, and after we wrap it up, we're going to do What the Talk. We're going to be talking about anything and everything, whatever comes to mind. We have a Throwback Thursday. I hope Paul has a Throwback Thursday, which we'll talk about. If you want to access these bonus shows, you could do so by going to patreon.com/whatthetalk. You can fund us whatever you want. Last couple of weeks, a lot of people have really enjoyed these shows that we've been doing. Last week, we didn't do a show, by the way. This week, we're doing one. It's going to follow live right after this. Everybody can watch it. And if you miss it, you can go to patreon.com/whatthetech and you get access to a bunch of shows there. Paul, yes. I want to talk about this. You have a Ask Paul segment on your website. Yes. And it is about replacing the Zune HD because Zune is officially dead. I don't know if you heard this.
Yeah, I did.
I feel like it died multiple times. Over the last couple of years, there's been multiple deaths.
Yeah, it's important that they rub this one in as painfully as possible. Although, I will say this, you know, the thing that is changing is, I think it's as of November, there are people who got a Zune, what they called at the time, a Zune Music Pass. I think it debuted in 2006, if it didn't, it was 2007. But if you were among those initial subscribers, what you got was 10 free songs that you could keep every month. You could download them, and they were yours. They were added to your collection. And a very unique kind of feature, right? Obviously, today you can subscribe to Spotify or to Groove or to whatever. You don't get free songs that you keep. Like, you stream for the life of the subscription, but once you end the subscription, the songs are gone. So as long as you kept this subscription, as long as you never let it lapse, this thing's running till today. So there are people who have had this thing for eight or nine years, and it's ending, you know, in November. But here's the thing I think that's kind of cool about this. A lot of people complain about, you know, Microsoft canceling stuff every once in a while, whatever it might be, Media Center, whatever. But, man, they really kept the Zune thing going for longer than they needed to. They haven't made a Zune device in several years. They've upgraded Zune Music Pass twice now, first to Xbox Music Pass and then most recently to Groove Music Pass. I think you got to give them a little credit for keeping that thing going.
Yeah.
But, you know, sure enough, they get rid of it. And I already hear from people complaining and like, oh, I'm going to go to Spotify, you know, whatever. And it's like, okay, well, you know, sorry they faithfully let you keep using this thing, even though they didn't have to for, you know, 8 years or whatever. But, yeah, so I would say very soon, Zune will work for the foreseeable future. If you just want to copy your own music to it, you know, you can connect it to your computer, copy the stuff over. It will still work like that. But obviously these things are getting antiquated and are increasingly out of date.
So what should people replace it with? What's a good replacement for them?
Well, it depends, right? So if you actually, you know, were one of those guys, like you have a Zune Music Pass back in 2007 and you started adding music to your cloud collection, you were getting free music every month, you've made playlists, you've got internet, or Zune, or, sorry, Groove Calls, radio stations, you know. Obviously, the easiest thing to do would be to move right along to Groove Music and keep using the same thing. And that will work with anything in many ways because Groove Music is available on iOS, so it will work on iPhones. It's available on Android phones, and it's available on Windows and Windows phones. But the thing is, for some reason, I don't know why it's still like this, but the version that's available for Android and iOS is lackluster compared to the version on Windows Phone. And because you can buy very easily and inexpensively a Windows phone unlocked or at least with no contract from Microsoft Store or wherever, you know, you can get a really inexpensive Windows phone that has micro SD expansion. That's a wonderful little media player. And you can just use it for Groove.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use it for other things. It's an offline, you know, if you get a Lumia, which you should, it's an offline GPS. It's a nice little game player. It you know, you could use it for anything. You can use it as a phone if you want to. But even if you don't want Windows Phone as a phone, if you do want a standalone device, I mean, as I recommended in that article, you know, like a off-contract Windows Phone is the way to go. And today, you know, since I wrote that, you know, the models that are available have changed a little bit. I'm sure at the time I probably recommended like a Lumia 635 or whatever, but we have like 640 and 640 XL, which is a really big phone. They're wonderful phones. Yeah. Like they're really nice devices, and you have lots of choices. So, you know, just for the music stuff, I mean, yeah. Anything.
I want to talk about that since it's the
yeah, it kind of happened.
Dead again.
Dead again. I know.
Dead again. The true story of the Zune.
Well, like I said, I complain a lot, and other people complain a lot about, you know, Microsoft is stepping back on this and they're doing this and everything. I think the way they handled the Zune Music Pass thing was very credible, and it was nice for those guys, and it was probably a very small audience of people who were still left.
Yeah.
And they had a good run, so that's nothing to complain about.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Paul, that wraps it up for this week. Everybody, you can go to our website, jfknetwork.com, if you miss any portion of the show. You can catch it there. Therot.com, you can catch it there. Next week, when are you in town next week?
This week I'm in town, Thursday.
And then in 2 weeks from...
And then, I think in 2 weeks as well.
In 2 weeks, you're in town on Tuesday, so we will be doing the show on Thursday. So next week, it's Thursday now.
Oh, wait, what's Thursday the what?
The 8th.
Then yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. So the 29th, we will be here on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The following week, the 6th, we will not be here on Tuesday. We will be here on the 8th.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm going to Colorado next week, but it's after the 29th.
By the way, people are suggesting I check out Nova Launcher, replacing the TouchWiz Samsung launcher, whatever they're doing. I think I'm going to give it a shot.
I feel really strongly that stock Android is the way to go, and I wish there was some easy way to do that on Samsung devices. I really like the hardware, but I don't want Samsung stuff all over it or their UI. I just want stock Android.
Yeah.
There must be a way to do that.
I don't know if you can. I have a question here before you. Can you ask Paul how to move your SMS messages from Windows Phone to Android?
Ugh.
Can you? Well, Verizon, if you're on Verizon, it holds it for, I think, for 90 days, and you could just set up your phone and you can get it.
I don't know. One of the nice things about Windows Phone as you move from phone to phone is it takes your SMS messages with you.
Yeah.
And they do a nice backup of that. I don't. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know of a way to get that over to Android. I'd have to really look into that. I'm not sure.
Sorry, Con. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I that's a legitimate need, actually.
Yeah.
There must be ways to do that.
I delete all my messages, so it doesn't matter. All right, guys, let's wrap it up. Yeah. We'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye for now.